I've taught about verse 9 and verse 10, where Paul says that he was praying for the church at Colossae, that they will be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Do you remember? And then he continued to say that they will be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. And I taught you that wisdom means access to supreme intelligence or divine intelligence. In other words, God opens his heart, his mind, his thoughts to you. Now remember the book of Isaiah 55, he told us that his thoughts are not the same as ours. And he continues to say that his thoughts are higher than ours. Now I've learned that wisdom comes in, how can I say? It comes in levels. And the lowest level, entry level, Paul, is, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It doesn't mean it's all wisdom. It's the beginning. It's the entry level. And the manifestation of that is salvation. When you receive Jesus in your heart, then you've taken your first step on the journey of wisdom. Now that alone is precious, because someone who doesn't take that first step will never see God face to face. Never. No matter if they have all the wisdom of the world, no matter if they can make electric cars, spaceships that can go to other planets, rather God says that the wisdom of this, that the foolishness of God is higher than the wisdom of this world. So this song that you guys just sang just made me feel grateful to God. That the little nuggets of his word that first I understand, that I believe, and that I'm trying to walk in, I feel it a big honor and privilege. And I pray that in the coming year, since we've dubbed the year of increasing the knowledge of God, that God will take us deeper than we've ever gone before. Amen. That he will show us things that we've never seen before. Amen. For a large period, Sihle, the church never knew what is the Holy Ghost. It's one of my prayers to God that God will use me to impact, like my message must impact the church. Amen. Not even the world, the church. Amen. Now, for many years, people thought that the Holy Spirit was just the wind. For many years, people downplayed tongues. They thought that tongues is just something that comes upon you when you are in ecstasy. When the presence of God is at its highest. Then you pray. And then you, for many years. Until one lady whose name was Catherine Coleman, when she spoke about the Holy Spirit, she spoke of him as though she's speaking about a person. Like a human being, like a personality. For the first time, the church was exposed that this is a person that we can have a relationship with. The Holy Catherine Kuhlman was so close to the Holy Ghost that in her meetings, not everybody was allowed to sit anywhere. She respected the Holy Spirit. She was so anointed that when that personality would come to the stage, the anointing and the miracles that used to take place. Amen. One time she was preaching, and then her preaching, when you get a chance, download Catherine Coleman's messages. You can even fall asleep while she's preaching. She'll be telling you about her father. She'll be telling you about her old church when she got born again. She'll be just talking like that. Then all of a sudden, she'll say, "He's here." Oof. And one time, literally, she would wear long dresses. One of her dresses, you could see the wind of God. Like it was literally doing this. And people couldn't come close to her. The miracles. Doctors used to come to her meetings with the aim to try and prove that this lady is a fake. Then the same doctor who would come and prove would suddenly notice that he is healed. And then will come and give a testimony and said, "Actually, I came here to prove that this thing is wrong. But to my surprise, I am healed." May God give us access. May He give us access. There's so much glory awaiting us. But the glory comes at a price. And the price is holiness. And holiness means being different. Not being like other people. It's my desire. It's my dream. And I believe that God will begin to do it more than He's ever done it in the coming year. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. I promised to preach for a very short time. It is now 10:45, around about. And by 11:15, I will be finished. Amen. Now, today being Christmas, my message is not a Christmas message. I'm still talking on my subject about backsliding. Hallelujah. Today, I want to subtitle my message, "A Church That Is On Fire For Jesus." A church that is on fire. May we be a church that is on fire for the Lord. Hallelujah. Not like one person is on fire, but the whole church is on fire. The whole church is passionate about their God. Now, what I want you to know and recognize and realize and be aware of where backsliding is concerned, is that the process of backsliding can happen on an individual. In other words, amongst us sitting here, one of us can backslide on our own. Do you understand what I'm saying? But backsliding can also take place on a group. A person can backslide. A church can backslide. A community can backslide. A nation can backslide. Every time that God talks about backsliding, which is mostly in the book of Jeremiah, He's referring to a nation. That a nation has backslided. Not an individual. But the whole community of God's people had turned away from their God, or were in the process of turning back from their God. So we mustn't just fight backsliding as an individual thing, but we must be aware that we as a group, and this group is a church, we can backslide. Amen. A family can backslide. You can find a family that perhaps, let's say, the grandmother was a staunch Christian. And because of her presence, she enforces certain things in the family. Everyone must go to church. For example, my family from my mother's side, when I was around about my daughter's age, my grandfather was a strict Christian. She had a bell in the house. And Sunday morning, he would give me the bell and said, do your job. And I would, kidding, 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 kidding. It's time to go to church. The whole house will be empty. We only leave the cockroaches if there's cockroaches there. But over time, my grandfather backslid. And as a result, the family backslid. And going to church was no longer a thing anymore. When my mother would tell me stories, she would tell me stories that time when my family was strong in the Lord. She would say that someone would be washing dishes and would just start a song. And then someone passing will hear the song and take it up also. Before you know it, it's a family worship and praise thing. And the anointing will come in the house. Would you see that now? The family has backslidden in that sense. Do you understand? So just as it can take place on an individual, it can take place on a family. It can take place on a church. Even a church can backslide. Like, the whole purpose of a church is to be on fire. But even the church can backslide. And we must be aware of it. And we must be ready to fight it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew 21. Verse 12 and verse 13. You know, it is one thing when an individual backslides. It's another thing when a family backslides. But when a church backslides, that's one of the most painful things. Because the Bible says that we are the salt of the world. The Bible says that we are the light of the world. So when the salt is no longer salty, the food will have no taste. The food, because salt is also a preserver, it delays the rotting process. So if the church wasn't here, the world would be rotten to the core. But because there are some Christians who still have some salt in them, the delay is slower. The church is the light. If the church wasn't here, this world would be just darkness. And darkness here doesn't mean like physical darkness. It means foolishness. It means the lack of the knowledge of God. Mamrute says wokeism. There's something called to be woke now. I read an article of a family that is fighting. These are celebrities from America. One of them had a child with the ex-wife. And that child, they gave birth to a boy. Now that boy says he feels that he's a girl. So he wants to chop off his... you understand what I mean? And become a girl. And they are going to court. The mother is saying, no, he can't go chop off And the father said, but he feels like he's a girl. The father even changed the name. Now imagine if there was no light. People will change themselves. I feel like a horse. We're changing themselves. Hey. And the way it is now, it's even scary for a pastor to talk that these things are wrong. But the truth is, they are wrong. My father in the Lord went to preach in a church called what's Musasona's church again? Pastor Bishop Musasona. Grace something. Grace Tabernacle. So unknown to Bishop Doug, Somizi was a member of the church. Somizi is a well-known homosexual person. And he didn't know that, he was just preaching the word of God. Eesh. And it's like that day he was preaching, he said, to be gay is wrong, he says, saying it rough. And Somizi was there. If I remember the story, he walked out during the service. And then it was all over social media. But the truth is, that's what's in the word. These things are wrong. Hallelujah. So, the church is the last hope for the world. Amen. It is one organization that must not backslide. Amen. Everyone else can backslide. Even the government can backslide from their mission, which is to work for the people. There's still hope as long as there's the church. Amen. Because it means the influence of God is still coming to the earth. Amen. But once the church, that's why the worst time that will ever be seen in the church will begin after rapture. Rapture means Christians are taken. There will be 7 years where John said that people will be trying to kill themselves, but they will not be able to die because of the Bible calls it, it's divided into two parts. It's called tribulation, and then the second part is great tribulation. The Bible says that John saw an angel, and I think he blew a trumpet. And when he blew the trumpet, a voice was heard in heaven to say, go and block the winds of the earth. In other words, no oxygen, no breath. And then as the angels were going, I think God said, "Ish, yeah, Mara, now." Saying, "Bashaga, cool." And then he said, no, don't do it. Those will be the days of great tribulation. Those will be the day where people are wishing to die. Because the church will no longer be there. A church is important no matter how small, no matter how big. Amen. It's important. Amen. We must not backslide. Amen. We must fight backsliding. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 21 from verse 12 and verse 13. Are you there? And Jesus went into the temple of God. Temple of God is what? A church. That was the church of the day. So Jesus went there, maybe feeling, I need some, some spiritual food. I need some prayer. I need to be amongst other people who think like me. Let's see what happened when he got there. And cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. The church had backslidden. Jesus came there to experience some praise and worship. But instead of praise and worship, they were selling business in the church. He came there for prayer. Maybe for fasting.
But people were just doing business in the church. To my shock, there are churches like that. Eh? There are churches that during service, there'll be someone walking, and you know those people who sell brooms. Mshanye, no. There'll be people walking during the service. Popcorn. Oh, how many do you want? I want two. I'm not lying to you. Mom Ruth says she's been to one. During the service, not like after the service. You see, that's a backslidden church. So we must never ever get to such a point where we forget why we are a church. Amen. Let's read another scripture. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. I told you it's not a Christmas message. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Galatians, it's in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Are you there? The Bible says, "For ye have heard of my conversations in time past in the Jews' religion." So this is Apostle Paul talking. And the Jews' religion, we can say it was the church of the day. Do you understand? Because the Jews were the people of God. "How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father." So this church, their passion was not worship, was not praise, was not prayer. Their passion was the traditions of their fathers. That's the church that Jesus said to them, "You make the word of God of none effect." Because Jesus was eating with them, and their traditions, listen, their traditions, not that they were doing it because of hygiene. Their tradition was that before you eat, you wash your hands. Do you understand? Like, for example, I don't know if they still do it. I don't see a lot of it anymore. But in KZN, it's there a lot. When you go to a funeral, after you come from the graveyards, there'll be a bucket by the gate. So you have to wash your hands. You think that's for hygiene? Don't you think that as someone washes their hands there, it gets dirtier? Think about when you're number 50 to come in. You are rather dirtying your hands. But it's a tradition. Do you understand? And so, traditions had now filled the church to the point that God was amongst them and they couldn't see him because of traditions. When a church has backslidden. It is a church that killed Jesus. It wasn't ordinary people. The Bible says that Pontius Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus because he knew he was an innocent man. The Bible says he knew that for envy they do this. Envy is like an evil jealousy. Because the Pharisees or the church of the time, they were afraid that they are going to lose their influence because of Jesus. And Pontius Pilate said, what should I do to this guy? And the Bible says that the Pharisees, they moved the crowd to say, crucify him. Then Pontius Pilate said, what can I do to save this guy? Then he went and got the worst prisoner that he had at the time. There's a video clip in social media where there's a guy, they are interviewing him, where he explains how they break into people's homes and get money from them. And then he will say that, I'll go to the house, with his broken English, and I'll take the baby and put him in the microwave. Will you not give me money? Will you? That's the Will you not give me money? You will give me. You will give me. So Pontius Pilate went to get a guy like that and put him next to Jesus and said, who must I release between the two? And the Pharisees, which was the church, they said, Eshi Baraba, which means release the criminal. The criminal's name was Baraba. And they moved the crowd. And the whole crowd started chanting, Eshi Baraba. And so Pontius Pilate released the criminal, the real one. Jesus was just a preacher who just loved his God. See, when the church backslides, it's a painful thing for everybody. If one person backslides, we might not notice. But when the church backslides, the community will become corrupt. Governments will become corrupt. The world will become corrupt. We need the church to be on fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. That's the first half of the message. My first 15 minutes. The second half of the message, I want us to look at, you can decide how to put it. Marks of a church that's on fire, or marks of a church that has backslidden. You decide how you put it on your notes. But you'll understand what I mean. I'll just give you 2 points and then we are going to close. Do you understand what I just said now? All right. How will you know whether a church is on fire or a church has backslidden? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. So, you know, this message, it came while I was taking a shower. So, and I quickly went and typed it. So, in preparing it, like, for you to know whether you are backslidden or on fire, like I always say, you have to go to the beginning. Because in the beginning, you see the original intent. Sometimes things don't work out. But if you go search the beginning, you say, oh, this is what they were trying to do. You understand? So I'm searching the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, that is the foundation of the early church. And I'm trying to investigate to see that what was the church supposed to look like? By studying the first one that came up. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the first thing that I noticed is in Acts chapter 1. Let's read from verse 4 to verse 8. Acts chapter 1, from verse 4 to verse 8. Are we there? The Bible says, my notes, I didn't write them properly. Acts chapter 1 from verse 4. The Bible says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Jesus said, but wait for the promise of the Father. Someone say the promise. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God. Now, the first mark or proof or evidence that a church is on fire for God, or if you like, that the church has backslidden, is the presence of the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus was talking to the founders of the church. The Bible in the book of Ephesians says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So the apostles, or at the time that Jesus was speaking, they were disciples. The disciples were the foundation of what today we call the church. Amen. And the Lord Jesus said to them, before you can do anything, you must wait for the promise of the Father. And that promise is the Holy Ghost. That promise was made in Joel chapter 2, where God said, upon all flesh I will pour out my spirit. Hallelujah. A church that is full of the Holy Ghost, a church that is under the influence of the Holy Ghost, is a church that is on fire. Now, to talk about the Holy Ghost, it would be a series on its own. So, it's too many things that we can say about the Holy Spirit. We need Him. But I just want to highlight an aspect that when I was preparing this, I feel that God wants me to emphasize on. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 4 that we read, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded, that word is important, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. A church that is on fire is a church that waits on God. A church that no longer waits on God is a church that is risking backsliding. Amen. If they have not already backslidden. If we don't wait. It's a wait for the promise of the Father. Pastor, what do you mean wait? Do we wait like we wait for the bus at the bus stop? When the Bible talks about waiting, waiting doesn't mean you sit and do nothing. In Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So a church that doesn't wait will have no strength. That's why churches are becoming more and more worldly. Because because they don't have the strength to say certain things and say them as hard as they need to be heard. The church is becoming more and more like the world. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So look at what waiting does. How important waiting is. So that word wait, when I studied it, it doesn't mean sit down and wait. That word wait means to eagerly look for. So when it says wait upon the Lord, it means you must eagerly be looking for God. Amen. You are searching for Him. Amen. You are looking for Him. A church that no longer sets aside time for waiting is a church that is at the brink of backsliding. If they are not in the process already. Amen. That's why next year, the first program of the church is fasting and prayer. Amen. It's not just fasting and prayer, it's waiting. Amen. We'll be waiting upon Him. Amen. The Lord, we are starting a new year. What are you saying to us? What do you want us to do? What are you doing, oh God? Because we want to do what you are doing. What are you saying about 2023? Amen. We want to be in line with you. Amen. So we must set aside time to wait upon the Lord. Amen. And when we wait on Him, we will be renewed. Amen. When we wait on Him, we will be refreshed. Amen. When we wait on Him, we will be strengthened. Amen. When we wait on Him, we will now have wings. Amen. We will be soaring above problems, situations of life. Amen. Those who wait, eagerly look for, searching for their God. Amen. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. When we wait. I'm planning for my own personal self that at least 3 or 4 times in a year, I must disappear. I must. I saw it this year. Towards the end of the year, I started feeling tired. Whenever you start feeling tired in the work of God, it's a sign that it's time to wait. So I'm planning over time that every 3 to 4 months, I must just disappear to go and suck honey out of the rock. I like what Habakkuk said. Let's quickly go to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. Habakkuk is in the Old Testament. One of the small books towards the end of the Old Testament. One time I went to preach somewhere and I said, open the book of Deuteronomy. And they said, woo! They are used to John, Matthew. They were shocked. Deuteronomy. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, are we there? Verse 1. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. This is Habakkuk talking. He says, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. That is what waiting is. That word watch means to wait. it means to look for. So Habakkuk says that I will watch. In other words, I will wait to hear what he will say to me. So that's the real purpose of waiting. What is God saying? A lot of us have flipped it around. Our waiting is to tell God what we want. But Habakkuk is teaching us that our waiting should be, Lord, what are you saying? Mam Ruti, on our way back from the wedding yesterday, she was singing a song. In fact, she sang it when we were going, and she also sang it when we were coming back. Just remind me the tune again. Saluni fundisuguti mange mayenzi wintando yako. It means teach me, right? To know that your will must be done. What's the other part? Susago ku ukwesaba mayenzi wintando. So that one is like, remove all fear. Let your will be done. I remember many years ago, I made a decision, a very, very, very difficult decision. And now I had to go tell someone that decision that I had made. And I took my wife, I said, I have to go now. I have to go announce the decision to my bishop back then, who was the bishop of all the southern churches. What do you call Sadek churches, including the neighboring countries of South Africa. So it's a big person that I'm going to meet. And I was going to tell him something. And I was shaking. And I was afraid. And I was scared. And then my wife just started singing this song. I don't even think that she had planned to sing it to calm me down. It just came out of her spirit. When she sang it, it was yeah. Like, remove all fear and let your will be done. Amen. Our mission as a church should not be what we want God to do. Our mission as a church should be, what does God want to do? And we'll align ourselves to his will and do his will on the earth. That's the power of waiting. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the aspect that must return to the church, and that the church must take seriously. If you want to see the strength of a church, how on fire a church is, check during the fasting times. Check during the prayer times. A strong church, that's where it is full. And a church that is not strong, that's their worst attendance. When it's time for praying, when it's time for fasting, when it's time for waiting. Because the Holy Ghost doesn't just come. Even though it was the promise of the Father, Paul, Jesus said it is the promise of the Father. A promise is, Mafras, through God, I will do this thing for you. That's a promise, isn't it? So God had promised. And if God promised, I mean, it's done. But even though it was a promise, there was a requirement to wait. You must wait for it. And I told you, wait is not just sitting. Search for it. The same thing that he wants to give you, you must be longing and waiting and searching eagerly. Amen. So that he can give you what he promised to give you. Amen. So a church that's no longer waiting, a church that's no longer searching, They don't know almost what God wants them to do. So backsliding is on the, just their next step is backsliding. You'll find that, you see, one of the things that I hate is funerals. There are pastors who have become professional funeral pastors. They've got messages for funerals. They know how to comfort. It's their specialty. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Me, I don't like that one. Because in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, Jesus said that after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will become witnesses. Witnesses means that you are going to become converts. You'll be converting people to Christianity. Amen. That's what the church must specialize on. Not specializing on funerals. Not specializing on weddings. Not specializing on food. Amen. The amens are saying, Pastor, finish. Not finish. Am I preaching or am I not preaching? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. My time is up, so we have to watch against backsliding. Because backsliding is not just something that can happen to a person, but backsliding can affect a group, where a whole group turns away from God. And so, if we don't want to backslide as a church, if we don't want to become useless to God, we have to re-emphasize and reprioritize waiting on the Lord. It's important. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Waiting on the Lord must become like a convention in our church. It must be like a prophet has come. Waiting on him. Because that is the time. The ever first time in my life hearing the voice of God. It was during a season of fasting and praying in the church I used to attend. On the last day of the fast, I had my hands lifted up. And I heard a voice as though someone was standing next to me. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, all this time, you have not been looking for me. Only now, you have begun to look for me. And I was so dull and so carnal that I didn't know it was God. Only as I was walking with my friend, I said to him, you know, I heard a voice while we were at church. And he said to me, what did you hear? And I told him. And he said, that was God. I said, when I thought about it, I said, yeah, man, it was God. And then I became so excited that I heard the voice of God for myself. You know, when other people say, I heard God, I mean, it's other people, yeah, they can hear God. But when you hear for yourself, especially the first time, it's the best. I was so excited. I was so happy. The first time I ever heard him was when I was waiting on him. As we are starting the new year in a couple of days, in a week or so, like I said earlier, the first program of the church is fasting and prayer. Take it seriously. Become part of it. For yourself. One of the things that I'm trying to strengthen myself with this year is whether 2 people come or 20 people come, we are doing it. Because in the past, I've been discouraged by the attendance. But this time, I'm going to be encouraged by the fact that me, myself, I don't want to backslide. We will do it. Hallelujah. We will wait on the Lord. And this year, I'm going to try to make our fasting even easier to try and accommodate everybody. In the 14 days of praying and fasting we are going to do in January, people will choose between these different things. You will fast from the moment you wake up in the morning up until 12, others up until 3, others up until 6, others from the first day, you will not touch food till the last day. So you choose the category that is suitable for you. This time, nobody should have an excuse to not do it. Do you understand? Yeah. And then the most important thing is that we must gather together and cry out to our God. Hallelujah. What do you think? All right, put your hands together for Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. Even though it's not a Christmas message, but do you feel fed? Ah, glory be to God. I'm trusting God that 2023 you will hear messages like you've never heard before. Yeah. I want to go deeper. It's my personal commitment to myself. I'm even afraid to make it to God. I'm making it to myself. Can we try that song? I know we haven't practiced it, but I want to make it